I was still there, I read in that big book, but I also asked the people to give me a free Gideon Bible, Christian Bible, and I got that. And after 2 weeks, I walked out of that house, out of that safe house, into dark Holland, where the Gestapo was still trying to catch all of us, you know, kill us. And I walked and walked until I found, I had a new pair of wooden shoes, bleached hair, Christian Bible, my fake idea. I walked until I found a farmer who was desperate to have help. And I even registered in the little town hall in the village with my false name. And I worked for this farmer. I became a farmhand there. I worked from morning until night, very, very hard, and I hardly spoke. I realized that the less words, the less chance of revealing who I really was. And I was a good farmhand. I worked very hard by that time. I knew much more about what to do on a farm. And at night, I read in my Bible, lying on my straw mattress in a little room above the, in Holland, the front of the farm is for people, and then there's a wall, and then there's the cow shed. It's all incorporated, and I had a room over the cow shed, and I read by a candlelight about the stories about all this marvelous Jewish history I never knew, about King David and about Saul and about Moses. And when Moses stands on Mount Nebo, and was the Lord said, "You cannot go in there," I cried. Could cry now. And so I got religion. I became a Jew there. Really, that's really the first time that I would really became a fervent Jew, and I formed my own religion, and I promised God that God of I'd learned now had given all these commands to Moses on Mount Sinai. And I said, "I will try and follow as many of your commands as I can. If you please save my father and my mother and my brothers." And so when on the farm, I got a big portion of nice bacon and ham. And as I was eating it, in my head, I said, "Dear God, please forgive me. I have to eat this, otherwise I will die." And so I worked and worked and worked. On May 9, 1944, my mother was arrested on a train. She was caught by a Gestapo who was a specialist and saw that she had a tiny little fault in her false identity card. The Dutch identity card had been designed by a Dutch graphic designer. It was a monstrously thing that was almost impossible to fake. And my mother had one that had one tiny, it had a like a banknote, it had a background print for four-point type that ran crosswise. And my mother had one that had one little fault in it that nobody could see, except especially. Mm-hmm. He arrested her, put her on a train to Amsterdam to be interrogated. He put a Dutch policeman to guard her. It was one of these European trains, you know, where you have a corridor and compartments. Mm-hmm. And, excuse me.
Go ahead.
And while she's going in this train towards Amsterdam, she realizes that in her handbag, she's got all our hiding addresses, because she is the contact person. And surreptitiously, she takes out every piece of paper out of her handbag and tears it into little pieces, chews it up and swallows it. So that when she comes in Amsterdam in front of the Gestapo interrogators, they say, "Who are you?" All they have now is her false identity card. Didn't find anything in her handbag, any paperwork. And she gives her maiden name. She says, "My name is Angeline Elizabeth Van Leer." I said, "Do you have a husband?" She said, "Yes." "Where is your husband?" "He's in the Merchant Marine in the United States." Do you have children? No, I don't have any children. And then out of the blue, she screams at them, you have no right to keep me here. I'm an American citizen. Well, every Jew they catch, of course, has a desperate attempt to not be sent to the gas chambers, you know. And she said, they say, well, Mrs. Van Leer, if you have lived in the United States and your husband lives there, you wouldn't have any problem giving us an address in the United States, do you? No, she says, no problem. 275 Lamartine Street, Jamaica Plain, Boston.
Which is where you had lived?
That's where we lived in 1929. And they wrote it down, and she heard a German officer behind her say, well, there's at least one Jew who knows where she lives. But nevertheless, they sent her first to Westerbork concentration camp in Holland. And from there, on August 1st, 1944, she was sent to Bergen-Belsen concentration camp.
Do you think they believed her?
Excuse me?
Did they believe her, you think, about that, when she gave that American address, or who knows?
They sent her to Bergen-Belsen, they sent her to the, what was called the Star Camp.
The Star Camp?
Bergen-Belsen was a camp that was divided in many sections. There was a Hungarian camp, there was a regular camp, there was a Star Camp. The Star Camp was a camp initiated by Heinrich Himmler, the head of the SS, to keep families together, Jewish families, that had foreign papers, for exchange for Germans who were interned somewhere else. So my mother was sent to this camp, obviously in the belief that she was good material for an exchange. However, as she was there and the year came to an end, 1944, she had lost weight, she had become sick sometimes. It was desperate, you know. She thought she wasn't going to make it. And she was one of the few who was by herself, for which she was, the rest were all families, husbands, wives, and children, kept there as pawns by Himmler. And she writes, I have all the writings she wrote on very small script. And